Welcome. This is Real Healing, Real Awakening with Phil Golding.
Real Awakening. This episode is part two of Meditation, the Path to Conscious Awareness, and continues on from last week's episode, which was of course part one of this introductory study into meditation. And by the way, thank you for all the feedback that you have been giving me. It is gratifying to know that this show is inspiring you and bringing awareness and clarity into your life, lifting you into a consciousness that is able to take greater command of your everyday life. That is what real healing, real awakening is about, inspiration and transformation. I am endeavoring to offer you real answers to life's problems, real answers to the nature of human suffering, and to help lift you out of the limitations of your life and your own mind and its old programming, and to free you into your conscious awareness, where you have the power to choose with awareness in every moment of your life. With the help of real living principles of universal consciousness, that is, unconditional love and total personal responsibility, the total personal responsibility to love yourself unconditionally. Here you are as conscious awareness, recognizing yourself above and beyond your limited human body and its mind, which is always like a child, always vulnerable, always needing assistance and guidance. That guidance, that assistance, that power, that love, that awareness is within you. And you can continue to awaken that potential within you every day, with a daily practice of self-awareness and self-care. You are the manager, the parent, the guardian of your mind and therefore your life. You do not have to wait around for somebody else to do that. We can care for one another. We can walk together on this journey of life. But as adults, we must learn to stand on our own two feet. We must learn to realize that the power to do that is within the heart of every one of us. No matter what's going on around you, no matter how other people behave, no matter what's going on in the economy, how the government is setting its policies, or whether you have a job or don't have a job, have a relationship or don't have a relationship, have children or don't have children, or whether you have good physical health or not, all these things are the conditions of life. Regardless of what those conditions are, what I'm here to teach you is that you can set the conditions within yourself. You can create an environment within your own mind that is stable, that is peaceful, that is flowing with the love direct from the universal life force of unconditional love itself. Even if our ability to create this wonderful inner sanctum is far from perfect, even if we forget, that sanctuary nevertheless is there to return to. We have the awareness that it is possible to lift our own self up into our own inner sanctum, independent of whatever is going on around us. And from this consciously created mind space of calm abiding, we are in a great position to be able to make excellent choices for our life on a daily basis, instead of blindly reacting due to being controlled by old programming from the past that has nothing to do with the now. We are able to stop, feel, be present, aware, and assess what is most appropriate to do in this moment. We can act rather than blindly react, and we can act with the guidance of those marvelous principles of unconditional love, total personal responsibility. And with this, we can create a wonderful future for ourselves. And not only that, be a wonderful influence to all those around us. So in this episode devoted to an introduction in meditation, we will continue to develop, to create, to know how to build that inner sanctum within our own minds.
Nachakinchi loke upadiyati evaṁ kho bhikkave bhikkhu dhammesu dhammānupassī viharati pañcasu nivaranesu.
So last week we had a bit of a look at the life of Buddha and some of his marvelous insights regarding his Four Noble Truths. And then using those insights, we looked at some basic techniques for beginning a meditation practice. So I will start off with another look at the Four Noble Truths. And then we will move into a stage-by-stage meditation practice that you can continue to practice yourself in order to build that inner sanctum within your own mind. I want to take another look at Buddha's Four Noble Truths because these insights are so important as a part of those eternal principles of unconditional love and total personal responsibility. They are there to deconstruct the ego, deconstruct all the illusions, confusions, limitations in the human mind. And because of that, really comprehending them, really being able to grasp them at a real depth is very, very difficult because it runs up against those confusions. It takes quite a while to filter this information through, to allow it to really move into the heart and to see how, instead of threatening our ego, they can set our conscious awareness free. They can empower us rather than threaten our day-to-day ego grasping of security in the material world. The ego thinks it's going to somehow miss out if it lets these principles in. The ego thinks it's going to somehow miss out on a relationship or material abundance in some way. But the opposite is the truth. All that is let go of is that which does not work, is that which creates suffering, complication, and hardship, pain, in our human life. Buddha's Four Noble Truths are the reality of suffering, the nature or cause of suffering, the answer to overcoming suffering, and the path of overcoming suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So Buddha revealed that the reality of suffering is inherent in the impermanence of the physical world. There is nothing in the physical world that remains. Everything comes, everything will eventually go. Everything crumbles away. Our individual bodies inevitably lose their youth, grow old, and die. Institutions come and go. Even cultures come and go. Even races come and go. Even look at the nature of your own mind. Who you thought you were 10 years ago may be quite different to who you are now. You can see in your own life, human beings are always in a state of flux, always changing, always evolving. Relationships are always changing and evolving. Look inside your own mind. You'll notice that thoughts are continually coming and going, like an endless stream. And attached to those thoughts are a myriad of emotional responses and reactions, coming and going, all like clouds passing in the sky. Everything is in a state of movement, arising and passing. Now, Buddha is not trying to be pessimistic here. He is just simply stating what is. Then Buddha went on to reveal that the cause of suffering is trying to hang on to what is impermanent. Now it is easy to dismiss the profound importance of this insight, particularly in our Western complacency. In order to free ourselves from the illusions of the mind and the suffering that it keeps us trapped into, it is very important to look deeply into these insights. Look around you, observe throughout the day at the way we hang on to things, the way we try to grasp our fear of losing, our fear of letting go of material things, even our body, even our relationships, how we try to control in a fear-based way, and what happens, what are the results of that. I mentioned the stock market in the previous program. Whilst I am laying down this program, the world is going through a financial crisis. Stock markets are crashing all over the world. Here is a perfect example of what Buddha was talking about. What has caused this calamity? Well, listen to the experts. They are saying that greed has caused this calamity. Companies and their executives given too much free rein to behave irresponsibly have attempted to make quick profits in a short-term way, regardless of the long-term consequences. So what could be driving this sort of behavior, which reflects so much of what goes wrong in our society? Behind this behavior is fear of not having, which causes us to grasp at, to grab at things, to hoard, to take more than our share. Notice that even though these executives have failed in their duty, they have not paid on a financial level. Even though so many thousands of people have suffered financially, they have walked away with enormous paychecks. This grasping is what Buddha called attachment. We are trying to gain satisfaction through something that is inherently unsatisfactory. There is no ultimate fulfillment in any of these pursuits. So many people have based their financial and emotional security on savings that have disappeared often overnight through this debacle. Our peace of mind becomes attached to a material thing, a certain amount of dollars, let's say, in a savings bank. And when that is gone, we are suffering, we are upset, we are afraid. Then we are angry at the executives, their greed. What, they've got away with it again? Look at the wages that they have now. They're not suffering. They're home free. Everyone is without. They've got all our money. How can they? I am so angry. Ah, there's the other side of suffering. Anger, which Buddha called aversion. So this is what he was pointing out. The two sides of the one coin called suffering. Attachment and aversion. Attachment, trying to hang on to that which is impermanent. Aversion is hating that which is impermanent. Inevitably, everything comes and goes. We're running after it or running away from it in the form of aversion or hate. Revealed in the sixth episode of Real Healing, Real Awakening, called Taking Charge of Your Life, which took a philosophical look at enlightenment, reincarnation, and karma, I revealed that even those executives will reap what they sow. Everybody learns from their experience. Inevitably, everybody wakes up. Not much compensation, you may say. Well, in reality, you have the control, the power, the guardianship over your peace of mind, your state of being, right in this moment. Not that company executive. So why give it to him? You keep it. You take charge of it. That is what these insights are all about. And inevitably, that peace of mind will lead to your quicker recovery, materially and emotionally. In the third insight of the Four Noble Truths, Buddha revealed the answer to this suffering. Basically, he said, stop, be still, watch, observe, instead of reacting, instead of being caught up in all of this, step back a bit in your mind, be still and watch, and see the unreality of it all. And in this process, we discover another level to our being that we didn't even know was there, because we were too busy chasing after the material world or running away from it. What we discover is our ability to observe, and through that we realize that our mind is choosing on some level to react, when in fact we can just as easily, not so easily when you think of it as habit, but we can choose to not react. We discover that we have an enormous level of power in this experience. He discovered that within every human being is the power of consciousness, and the power of consciousness is in its ability not to be controlled by this impermanent world. Now, Jesus also spoke of this, and I like to bring Buddha and Jesus together as master teachers in this sort of wisdom. He mentioned building your house on rock, not on shifting sand. And there's another marvelous saying in the Christian doctrine, and that is God really communicating to us in these words, be still and know that I am God. You think about that. That is saying the same thing. Be still, know that there is a more powerful force here at work that you can find sanctuary in. The doorway into this ultimate power is your conscious awareness, transcendent, detached, above all that comes and goes in this world, all of this impermanence of the physical material world. It is that point of consciousness, the doorway into ultimate power, that is the seat of meditation and the power of meditation. It is connecting to this through letting go and being the observer enables us to start to draw from this ultimate power. We literally open up another dimension in our own mind. Now that doesn't mean that we should reject this world. That, of course, is falling back into aversion. And in saying that because the world is impermanent and therefore not real in a permanent sense, that doesn't mean that our experiences in this world is not real. We are here as physical beings, as consciousness united with this physical being to participate in this world. But what we must learn to do is to participate with our full potential of consciousness. When we do that, we are able to bring forth the ability to create that which is beautiful, positive, constructive, that is going to bring heaven on earth, if you like. Sound all very idealistic, you may think? Well, why not? As I have said previously in other programs, if you're going to go somewhere, why not go the ultimate destination? If you really want to get a long way, aim for the furthest, highest ideal. That way you are going to tap into the ultimate power and achieve the greatest results. It's about accepting your humanness along the way. We are journeying towards those ideals. It's not about being ashamed or judging ourselves if we don't live up to them on a daily basis. We are simply doing our best, setting our intention to live these ideals as best we can, and every day learning from the experience. And here is the middle way that Buddha talked about in practice. We are not indulging in aversion. We are not hating the experience. We are accepting the experience. We are embracing the experience. But we are also, on the other side, doing our best not to become attached to the experience, For instance, a relationship. We all have relationships in one way or another, but we cannot control another individual. Another individual has a free will, a mind of their own, just like yours. You don't like to be controlled, but yet we try to control another person. What is the result? Conflict, suffering. Let go. Allow them to be their own self. Whoa, that's scary. They might do something I don't want them to do. Ah, see how we are being caught up in the confusions of our mind once again. We are giving them the power of our happiness. You take care of my happiness. I'm dependent totally on what you do or don't do. They're suffering. They're no more an enlightened human being than you are. How can you take that load for them? You're expecting them to do that for you. See how we get caught up in our mind's confusions. We're not really looking at it because we're not in our observer self. We're not in our consciousness, seeing how this little child of mine gets itself all tangled up. So we let go and we come back to the stillness. And it is in this stillness that we transcend this confusion. As the great Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung stated, a problem cannot be solved unless we approach it from a higher state of consciousness. And you can refer to that beautiful book written by Wayne Dyer, There's a Spiritual Solution for Every Problem. We are talking here about the need to move into a higher state of consciousness in order to find a path through human confusion, in order to cut through the fears, the grasping of our childlike human nature. There is another way, and suffering, as Buddha pointed out, is not necessary. And the central tenet in Buddhism, just as it is in the five-step process that I teach, which is just simply another way to look at what is called the Dharma, is that if you want to master life, if you want to be the master in this physical world, if you want to be in control of your life, be the master first of your own mind. Once you know how to take mastership of your own mind, all the answers to how to live successfully in this world without suffering are right there before you. The Dalai Lama reflects this knowing when he says, if you want to bring the greatest benefit to humanity, enlighten yourself first. When you do this, you are in a position to then respond consciously in a way that is going to be for the highest good of everyone, including yourself. So there is a way to work with this world of impermanence that is successful, powerful, and fulfilling. And the power of that is inherent in all of us, and it is in our conscious awareness, and that is revealed particularly through the practice of meditation. So let's get into this practice of meditation.
Samudaya dhammanupassīvā dhamme suviharati Vaya dhammanupassīvā dhamme suviharati Samudaya vaya dhammanupassīvā dhammesu viharati.
Now, I spoke last week about the importance of using the breath as a central point of concentration. Meditation is a form of yoga, and the breath is central to every yoga practice. Now, there are metaphysical reasons why this is so important, but I won't go into that here now. What is important here is to know that the breath keeps us connected to the now moment. The breath is part of the body. The body is always here now. But the mind can be anywhere, anywhen. Due to the power of its imagination that is driven by fear, the mind gets itself lost, trying to control the past with regret, trying to control the future with worry, trying to interfere in other people's minds by controlling other people. Back to attachment and aversion. So we need a mechanism that enables us to pull free of this torrent of mind. And so we use the body like an anchor to put it into the ground of consciousness, which enables us to be still as the mind is continually floating on by. We can observe this mind and its content whilst knowing that we are the observer, still present in supreme consciousness, the potential of that universal life force of pure conscious power. But we also learned last week not to expect ourselves to be brilliant in this practice of meditation. In fact, expect yourself to be really bad at it. Expect to be amazed at how out of control this mind is. Your own mind, and yet you have very little control over it. This raging torrent of mind is going to come flooding into your consciousness and sweep you away in a matter of seconds. But you have set an intention to concentrate on the breath and know yourself as the observer. So as soon as that awareness resurfaces, I've been swept away, I've lost my center. Take another breath. Bring yourself back to focus. Be calm, be present, watch and observe. Now I'm going to add another very important element here that is essential to link to your conscious awareness, and that is to be the ideal. Now I mentioned in the very first program that I did that it is important not to just try to love unconditionally, but to literally be this love. We are being this love when we try to take care of ourselves with loving kindness. We are being the representative of love to our own human self. Now here you are being the power of consciousness. It is the same thing. Consciousness is unconditional love, total personal responsibility. Doesn't mean you have that level of clarity, but at least you have the intention. What you are doing is endeavoring to identify with those principles, that ultimate universal consciousness. And you're building a level of awareness, even if it's just intellectual. But as you're sitting, breathing, observing, you're doing it from the position of at least taking on board the concept that consciousness needs nothing. It is complete in itself. It is embraced in the sanctuary of universal consciousness, the life force of unconditional love. And so you are in that position untouched, transparent, like pure spirit, literally pure spirit, undying, unable to be destroyed or hurt in any way. You are, in fact, that which is permanent. That is what consciousness is. That is the power of consciousness. It is that which is permanent in the human experience. And so from this permanence, you can observe all that is impermanent, starting with, in particular, your mind, because you can access the entire experience of your life through your mind, because it all comes through your mind. So when you observe your mind, you're in a way, in a fundamental, extremely important way, in touch with everything. So here you are breathing, and I encourage you to do this as I'm talking. Breathing a nice, deep, slow, open breath. That is open, allowing, accepting, not hanging on to anything, not even your own lower mind and its aversions and attachments, the ego, in other words. Watch it. Do not judge it. Do not condemn your humanness. Do not condemn your confusions. You are the observer. You are above all of this. In a sense, it's like you are that which has already completed its journey, observing this child of mind within you, this human self, with compassion, like a loving guardian, a loving parent. And what you're doing is getting to know yourself. The first point of meditation is awareness. Even before we can really make any real changes in our life, the first step is to become aware. And as this awareness grows, insight grows, and then the ability and the power and the determination to make a different choice starts to arise. And inevitably, in that moment, we can stop the old program and make a different choice. Sometimes it's just to stop and freeze. We don't really know what to do, but that's a progression. We've actually prevented ourselves from going any further with that old program, and then we might go away and think about it for a while. Oh, that's what I should have done. Now, this happens over and over again. That is part of the ongoing evolution of our awareness and our ability to act differently. It won't come if we're not paying attention and building our conscious awareness. We won't start to gain an insight as to how to respond differently to a particular situation. So we are breathing deeply, slowly, staying present with observing the breath as it flows in, as it flows out, the pause at the top of the breath, the pause at the bottom of the breath. Being the breath, drawing all your concentration into the breath, letting everything else go. Imagining as one, the one identifying as that pure consciousness, that is all that really matters. That is the ultimate reality. Everything else is a dream. It's impermanent. On this level, that is what they mean by this world is a dream. It comes and goes. Watch it. If you watch a thought with all those emotions attached to it, just like that dog barking outside, it will inevitably move on. It will inevitably pass. Everything that arises passes again. So if we don't get caught up in that thought and that emotion, simply observe, keep breathing, not resist it, not try to control it, but to open and allow it all to flow through us. Every emotion is fine to run through our mind. Our mind can handle that. Every thought, when we look at it with that conscious awareness and with our growing awareness of the ideals, the principles of unconditional love and total personal responsibility, any thought that is not in alignment with that will start to crumble. Its foundations will start to crumble. It's like turning a light on in a dark room. The darkness is just swept away. And just like our troublesome thoughts, that yappy dog has now moved on, as it will inevitably do. So that is basic meditation. Breathing. Observe all that is flowing through that field of awareness that we've created by focusing on the breath. It's like we've slowed our mind down with the rhythm of that breath. We're controlling the breath, which starts to control the body, its primal mechanisms of fight or flight, and then the old programs that have been attached to that. Everything slows down, and this space starts to open up. Let go of everything. What am I doing? I'm sitting. I'm breathing. Nothing else is occurring. I do not have to do anything else. I don't have to live up to anything or prove anything or convince anybody. I'm simply here, sitting, breathing, observing the contents of my mind from a distance. You are not your mind, you are not your body. You are pure conscious awareness. This is the real you. So be identified as that. See the body as somebody else. See your mind as somebody else for a while. Not out of aversion, not trying to escape or run away, but to pull away so you can simply observe without reacting and watching how every thought and emotion arises and passes. A fear-based thought and the emotion that it generates is like a spark of fire. If you fan that fire by reacting to it, by believing in it, by thinking that aversion and attachment is based in truth, then it's like you are fanning that flame. It'll start to catch on to other things. It will start to look for other things to be fearful about. And before long, you've got this raging fire inside, consuming your peace of mind. So this is what we're doing. We're stepping back and we're not feeding those flames. We're not giving it any fuel. And the flame will just simply die out. And then another thought arises, the same thing. We are removing the power, the ego, from the mix. We are removing the fuel from the fire of this ego mind. We are centered in the truth of consciousness, which is the knowing that the only thing that is real is unconditional love and the total personal responsibility to care for this human self, this human mind, which gets itself caught up in attachment and aversion and therefore becomes disturbed, becomes unbalanced, is what the love is about. We're a parent to this child. We're not the child. It's important to shift your identification in this way to that higher self. That is you, the observer of this mind and body. You will even observe that many bodily conditions arise and pass if you let them. If you've got a headache, don't take a pill. Instead, sit down and observe that headache. Stop resisting it. Stop fighting it. Stop being afraid of it. Open. Embrace it if you like. Not so much, oh, I love having a headache. It's about accepting it, allowing it to flow through you. Open up. Imagine that, headache. It is simply a sensation. Oh, this is interesting. This is fascinating. I'm just going to sit with it and offer it my presence, my openness, this warmth inside that I'm just simply going to flow through this feeling, this sensation as I'm breathing and being with it and harmonizing with this headache is simply an interesting sensation, an interesting experience. And before you know it, oh, hang on, what headache? That's interesting. It's disappeared. Many of these things are caused by mental tension. And when you let go of the resistance, the tightness, they disappear. Of course, if the headache persists or it keeps coming back, I suggest you get it checked out. Chronic backache, for instance, or chronic pain that people suffer, there's training that is often done with people that enables them to cope with that pain. And most of the pain, or at least a large percentage of that pain, people discover is their resistance to it, their fear of it. They're sort of internally arguing with it and tightening up, and this adds to that pain. This is an analogy for so much that goes on in life. Let go. Allow it to flow through you. Just imagine that the breath is this beautiful flowing river. Just drop everything into that river and let it flow right through you, right through your heart. Your heart is like this field of awareness that is being created by the breath that you are focusing on. You're pulling yourself out of that flow, but this flow is coming through you now. Your consciousness is embracing it, not being swept away by it, but instead bigger than it. Your consciousness is growing and becoming the most powerful thing, like a great ocean of awareness. And the mind is getting reduced to like this trickle, no longer the raging torrent, but a trickle entering into this great calm abiding of an ocean of awareness, of consciousness. And flowing through you, carried by that beautiful river of awareness, that river of allowing, of accepting, of flowing, which is a part of that ocean of awareness, allows everything within us to free up disturbed emotions, troubling thoughts, attachments of this or that, or aversions of this or that. Let's just accept it. Let it flow on through us. Let it all go and just get swept along in this river as it flows out. and the conscious awareness that is that great ocean of presence, of stillness within us, grows, expands, and we drop deeper and deeper into that stillness, to be suddenly swept away again by this raging torrent of a mind that suddenly expanded from that little trickle, but then back into the breath. Ah, yes, that's right. I am not this mind. I am not this body. I am pure, conscious awareness, still and calm. Breathe. Feel, listen, observe through the breath. Letting everything go, letting it all flow through you. You're not objecting to anything, you're not rejecting it, condemning it, even as the lower mind and your ego is rejecting or getting caught up in the conversations, you know, what we do in our head. We can observe that. Ah, don't be hassled by that. The mind is just going to keep on with its old programs. Let it be in harmony with it. You're simply the parent watching the child. You're getting to know yourself. Don't judge. Simply focus on being the breath instead. Accept, allow it to flow through you. You are more than this. And this greater self inevitably is going to start to have an influence on this lower part of your being. So I encourage you, therefore, to go back and re-listen to that description of meditation. Contemplate on it with your eyes closed, breathing, dropping into being that meditator, being that conscious awareness. And do that as many times as you can during the day. So practice this as often as you can. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes at a time, or even a single breath. When you're in the middle of your day, in the middle of your work, and you're feeling yourself all tense, stop. I am the observer of this experience. I can pull back, let go, embrace my humanness. Ah. Just like resetting the program to one that works, that comes from the higher consciousness.
Etena saccha vajjena sottite hotu sabbada. Etena saccha vajjena sottite hotu sabbada. Etena saccha vajjena sottite hotu sabbada.
I'm now going to offer you another simple meditation practice, and this is called relaxation meditation. The previous one you can just call it concentration meditation, or insight meditation is another way of looking at it. The insight is the awareness that you're gaining from that experience. The concentration is your focus on the breath, trying to pull yourself into a single point. Now, the purpose of relaxation meditation is to bring calm to your mind, to heal your nervous system, and also to bring rejuvenation to your body. It is about letting go of all the tensions and the worries of the day, about letting go of all the confusions, the busyness, the rat race of the mind, slipping out of this physical impermanent world. As I have mentioned before, this is not an exercise in rejecting the world, that's indulging in aversion. But it is like having a break, a little mini holiday. And whilst we're on that holiday, we're immersing ourselves in this beautiful healing bath of universal consciousness. Unconditional love, in other words, even if we can't feel it as that, simply letting go and conceptually offering ourselves to this universal consciousness is enough for it to have an effect. Now, normally it is important in meditation not to fall asleep, or to do your best not to fall asleep. But sleep is important anyway. If your body needs to sleep, sometimes, even in normal meditation, if you've got the time, just let it. When you're sitting up and the intention is to meditate, often the sleep doesn't last any longer than 15-20 minutes. When you come back out, just get back to your breath, back to meditation. You'll find you're so much more alert. But in this relaxation meditation, feel free to fall asleep. That is okay. That's important to just fully relax and let the body rejuvenate. And if you are staying conscious throughout the experience, then make the most of the concepts that I run past you and use your imagination in a positive way to bring these healing forces through you, to merge with that universal consciousness. Also, normally in meditation, I would suggest to sit up to aid in conscious awareness, in being alert, in being the observer. But in relaxation meditation, I encourage you to lie down. And not just lie down, but to lie down and stretch your arms out, just like you're floating in a beautiful, tranquil ocean, being supported by this ocean, embraced by this beautiful ocean of consciousness that you are giving yourself to. Imagine that your mind is like a bubble, created by its busyness, its attachments and aversions, and this bubble is surrounding your consciousness, preventing you from having an expanded level of awareness that we are trying to achieve. So therefore, what meditation is doing is weakening, dissolving, punching holes in this bubble. And it is essential to do this because we are like a fish in this majestic ocean of supreme consciousness. And it's this bubble that captures us, that keeps us inside it, and prevents us from being able to merge with this greater ocean of consciousness. So we want to dissolve that bubble so we can merge back into pure conscious awareness. So the relaxation meditation enables you to do this, just as the previous one did. But this is particularly about resting the mind, rejuvenating your nervous system and your body. And I will give this particular meditation guidance a specific starting point so you'll be able to block it off in your recording and repeat it to yourself when it comes to doing the relaxation meditation. So let's start the meditation now. Now that you have found a nice quiet place to lie down and relax, spend some time stretching out and being comfortable. Now move into your breath. Merge your consciousness with the rhythm of your breath, slowing your breath down to a nice, steady, slow rhythm. Let the breath be open, like that beautiful flowing open river, slow flowing river, cleansing, healing, pure, refreshing, rejuvenating river, flowing right through you, body, mind, on every level, open, flowing, conscious breath. You are conscious awareness, pure conscious awareness. You are not this body or this mind. You are the guardian of this body-mind. And you are giving it a rest, placing it in a state of suspended animation, if you like. This open flowing breath is a signal for everything to be slowly winding down. Imagine that you have come to the very end of your life. There is no more to do. You have taken your last physical mortal breath. But this is not a fearful thing. Oh, it's a letting go, It's a knowing that you are now emerging back into the pure ocean of conscious awareness. The Supreme Universal Life Force is the most beautiful, blissful sanctuary there is. It is ultimate life. And so you are letting go of the physical, the limitations, the restrictions, and like a bird being released into freedom. And because your physical body is passing away, you have passed on, you have slipped through a portal, a dimension, a threshold. There is nothing more to do in this world. All business has been taken care of. It's a conscious letting go. Everything has now been handed over to the Universal Life Force. It will all be looked after. Your responsibilities are over. Ah, the journey is complete. Letting go now. Nothing more important in this world. It's all finished. It is all complete. It is now emerging into the freedom of spirit, of soul, of pure Buddha nature, of pure conscious awareness. And there are residuals of mind that are left, but just let them flow through you. Do not pay attention to them. You are free now. Let the mind wind down. Let go of your focus of that. It is no longer important. It's behind you now. It is in the past. It is no longer in existence in the now. You are free now. Letting go, spreading out. Your physicality is falling away. You are now becoming lighter and more transient, transparent. You are the breath, this beautiful energy of breath flowing in and out. And in this in-breath, you're opening, receiving, merging with universal consciousness. And with the out-breath, you are letting go. It is washing away all the residuals of your human life. You are handing it all over to universal life force, to God, to Christ, to Buddha, whatever inspires your heart. Wherever your sanctuary is, just pass it on. You no longer need it. You are free. Breathe. Let go. All that matters now is the flow of the breath, which is the universal life force flowing through you. And you are sinking into it, or transcending into it. Merging with it, becoming lighter, becoming spirit. The physicality, the residuals are there, but it doesn't matter. You've given it to the light, to the life force, and you're opening yourself up completely. Your mind, the memory of your body, nothing matters. Only now, only breath, and every breath you take flows from the very source of unconditional love. You are utterly loved, embraced, complete. You are home. You are complete. There is nothing to do, nothing to think, nothing to say. Nothing to strive for, nothing to prove. It is all behind you. Surrender. Let go. breathe. Let go of the body. Every breath, let go. There is only now. There is only this blissful sanctuary. And this sanctuary can be anything that you want. You can transport yourself as spirit now into a beautiful deep forest beside a running stream. Soft grass, beautiful leafy bed, lovely breeze. This is you, a part of you. You merge with this beautiful environment. Peace. Or you may choose to transport yourself into a beautiful ocean, floating in a tropical ocean of tranquility and stillness. Just floating in this ocean, being embraced, submerged, held, rejuvenated. Pure light flowing through you. There is nothing but you and the life force of pure love, of complete acceptance, of absolute beingness. Let this ocean of light, this ocean of bliss, flow through you. As it will. It is natural, easy. Open with the in-breath. Utterly surrender with the out-breath. Completely let yourself merge with this ocean of pure life, light and love. Let it rejuvenate every level of your being. This is the true state of your consciousness, free of the mind and the body, totally free, completely one with Supreme Consciousness, one with life, light, and love. There is nothing other than this, and you are that. And now that you are rejuvenated, at whatever level that you are able to receive, it is time now to re-enter this physical life, not with aversion, but with joy, in a state of relaxation, in a state of openness. Embrace this body now as it's emerging back into your consciousness, back into your awareness. Gently stretch this body. Gently embrace this mind. Your consciousness is this vast ocean of bliss, ocean of light, life and love. Embracing this little body mind within its greater being. Stretching now, embracing your day. Accepting everything that comes your way now, with an open heart, with an open mind, knowing that everything is here to benefit you, to teach you, to give you an opportunity to know yourself, to embrace yourself, to love yourself even more. You are the one who is in command of your life, and you are that supreme consciousness flowing through you as you are endeavoring to be unconditional love to your human self and radiate this to all beings, to all who you meet in your daily life. And whenever the mind creates turbulence, sweeps you off your center, breathe back to awareness, back to the stillness, back to the sanctuary, resetting the program of consciousness, of supreme unconditional love and total personal responsibility, back in the now, back in command, as many times in the day as necessary. And it will become the new you, the new habit, the new program that is you, that is your life. And your future is now yours to create. That brings to a close this episode of Real Healing, Real Awakening. In case you are wondering what the chants were during the short breaks in between segments, it is from the Maha Satipatthana Sutta, which is one of Buddha's teachings which has been preserved over the centuries. In fact, chanting the teachings or suttas in this way was how they were first recorded for about 300 years until they were finally laid down in written form. Even though it is recited in a different language, it has that beautiful, haunting, soothing feel to it. It reminds me of the Gregorian chants of the Christian tradition. This chant was recited by Venerable Amarpal Sabathar Thero. Hopefully I got that right. Please join me next week for more of Real Healing, Real Awakening. And feel free to email me any questions that you may have. I would love to address them in the show. And visit my website. There is a wealth of information there in the Philosophy School section. Go to www.innerharmony.com.au. That's A for Alpha and U for Ulysses, which is the Australian designation. Be a guardian angel to your own self, and love will always warm your heart, because wisdom is intelligent love in action.